Good evening, members. Welcome. I have an apology to make because we changed the date of the meeting. Both Councillor Dewick and I were unable to make this date. So it's tomorrow's date, so we moved it. So that's why we're a day ahead. Chairman's notices. I've got to find it on this thing. Oh, here we are. Sound recording of meeting. Please note the Council will be recording any part of this meeting held in open session for subsequent publication on the Council website. The start of the meeting, an announcement will be made about sound recording. Members of the public attending the meeting with a view to speak are deemed to be given permission to be included in the recording. Fire, in the event of fire, siren will sound. Please use the fire exit marked with the green running man. The fire assembly point is outside the main entrance to Council offices. Please gather there and wait further instructions. Health and safety. Please be advised of different levels of flooring within the Council chamber. There are steps behind the main horseshoe as well as the side of the room. Closed circuit television. Meeting held in Council chambers are monitored and recorded by CCTV. No. Thank you. Right, I got back again. Apologies for absence. Councillor Dobson, I believe.
Yes.
That's all, I think. Minutes of the last meeting. Yes?
I've just been handed a set of minutes on paper. These are not the minutes on the website.
It's all right, I've got the alterations here that are meant to go on the website.
They're on the website, but they're not in the printed paper.
We're going to...
All right, okay, that's fine.
I've got it altered here.
Yep, I've got the notes here.
Got the notes here.
Both, what have we done today?
Both the planning and licensing bit and Councillor Hurd works in the police station sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right, okay, thank you.
Everyone happy with that?
Yes, I'm ready to hear.
Miss Abel, did you update modern.gov? Did the minutes get updated in modern.gov?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
But they're not on our papers, but they are.
NDC's website.
Yeah.
They should be on the website.
Sorry, they are on the website, yes, they're just not on the paper.
Yeah, that's right, because that was printed before today.
Minutes of the last meeting held on. Oh, I've got to look on this to see it properly. Sorry. Pages 95 to 101.
Pages 5. That's the council.
That's the council. Council is page 5, but it says 95 as well. Page 5. Page 6.
Yes, please, Chairman. Page 6.
Yeah.
Two-thirds down, resolved. It says little 1, then an update. It should read that.
Yes.
Six, seven, eight, nine, 10, and 11.
Three.
All in favour?
Three.
Three. Right, okay. Public participation, there's none, is there?
No.
Well, you know, we're such...
It was once.
Yes.
We had one more recently when ex-Councillor Horner came and participated.
That's it.
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah, you missed it. You missed it.
I missed that.
Yes, you did. 141, 2017-18 Programme of Works update and 2018-19 Programme of Works.
Sorry, Councillor Helm, disclosure of interest.
Oh, was there any disclosures of interest? Sorry. Councillor Hurd, I think.
Thank you, Chairman. I will declare a pecuniary interest in agenda item number 11. This is about office accommodation. I understand it's to do with the police station, and I enjoyed those facilities only yesterday. So when we're talking about heating and space and light and everything else, I shall withdraw.
Okay. Right, we'll carry on with programme of works then. Sorry about that.
Thank you. So I think we just need to take it as read. There's one error on the paper which I've noted, which is it states that a report is coming to this meeting on external communications, which is not the case. There will be arranged a briefing with the monitoring officer, and I think Councillor Savage, potentially Councillor Heard would like to attend around email communication specifically, because that's the area which we need to still address, which Councillor Savage wanted picking up from the last meeting. So the monitoring officer has agreed to do a session on that, so that will be arranged over the next couple of weeks. So I'll take the report overall as read. What I would bring to your attention is that today we've got a report on staff sickness and also on a follow-up report on relocation of the police station to MDC offices. That basically means that, with exception of the provision of healthcare services, including recruitment and retention of GPs, which we're not expecting anything to come to the very soon meetings, and Section 106, which is October 2018, there's very little ongoing work. So I think we are really at a point today when we need to seek further items of scrutiny. Some items have already been brought to my attention to put onto the programme. They are, firstly, a review really around the provision of fire services, particularly in the south of the district. So that covers Burnham on Crouch and also Tillingham. So that being one item of work. Second item of work being around the Ignite project, providing scrutiny over that big council decision that was taken last month. And then thirdly, a piece of work around the lease to moat housing as well. So those three areas are areas that have already been brought into my attention before the meeting to add on to the programme of work. I don't know whether we've got some other areas as well.
Other areas you'd like to look at? Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. I think we're racing ahead, are we not? I think because that's agenda item 8. Is any other items?
I'm taking this part of the program of work, so the program of work,
so we can say light. Yes, I have got comments on that, if I may. I mean, I'm in your hands.
Yeah, go on.
Shall we take the program of work?
Yeah.
Okay, right. On page 15, then, please. The 4th paragraph, it says representatives from the CCG and practices have offered to attend the committee on a separate meeting outside of the committee to provide an update on this agenda. Do we think this should be taken up?
I think we should take it up, you know, if members were agreeable to this, but I also think we need to just leave it a bit of time since the last time they came, which I think was in late spring. I think it was the April meeting they came to visit us. Yes, so I think potentially an October meeting or a September, October, November time would have enabled them to have moved on a bit and have something different and something more to report back to us.
Yep. Carry on.
Just on that particular note, I didn't have my hand up. Morden Town Council meeting last night, there is a letter from Nick Alston about the NHS. It looks an innocuous letter until I showed it to a member of the public who actually has a lot of dealings with the CCG at Broomfield, and he just saw red and was livid at it. So I'll try and get a copy of that letter to you, but it certainly appears to undermine everything that the CCG's ever said. And this is from Nick Alston. Now, I understand, but I think that is going to go through in a few weeks. We need some feedback on that aspect of it.
Can I just come back quickly?
Yeah, come back.
Just to clarify, Nick Alston is a non-executive director of Mid-Essex Hospitals Trust, not the CCG. So he's coming from a Mid-Essex point of view.
Whilst I don't dispute that, the contents of the letter appears to overlap.
Councillor Putney.
Thank you, Chairman. Actually, Nick Alston is chairman up at Broomfield Hospital. I'm meeting with him on Thursday evening. There's an EALC meeting. I went to one once before, about 3 or 4 months ago. And I've had the letter from Nick Alston, so it's 6 o'clock in the evening, so I will be attending. And I can let members know what goes on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Councillor White.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just wondering if we could ask Anglian Water to come to Overbroom scrutiny, because we're having a lot of problems in my ward. Ian Amis is the latest gentleman, and they say on one hand, no, we can't do it because it's going to flood, it's not going to work. And then we get another response to planning, and the latest one is, well, it'll be fine, providing there's no surface water connected to the foul water sewers. Well, we know it's all connected to the foul water sewers, and I want them, if they're going to say it's okay to clear the conditions on these housing estates, I want somebody to be responsible for when they flood. And I don't accept what they're saying. And also, it's a completely experimental system they want to use in North Banbridge, and nobody's used it before. Well, I don't think we should be the guinea pigs. And they're just... Email after email is different, and I think somebody needs to hold them to account as to what they're playing at, you know, just to sort it out, if it's possible.
I'll forward you the email. I'm just trying to put it on Outlook now.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
I'd like to just come back on that, a comment that has just been made. Any building now, the surface water cannot be connected to the foul sewer. It has to go elsewhere, either in soakaways or its own separate pipe. Anglian Water will now not put fresh water through the sewage system.
Councillor Savage, do you have a copy of that letter that came to Morden Town Council as well, that you'd be able to provide us with, just so we can pick up on that?
I gave my letter to a member of the public, but... The town clerk, Jane Coleman, I'm sure we sent it to you because it looked like it was actually an attachment to an email.
Okay.
Councillor Hurd.
I've retained my copy, which I'll pass on.
Thank you.
Okay, lovely, lovely.
Yes,
you may.
Thank you. Just to add on to that. If you read the email here, it says, oh, we have enough capacity for foul water. It says, surface water flows should not be discharged into this foul sewage network, and the network does not have the capacity to convey surface water. But everybody knows the surface water goes in. And one of the conditions was they were supposed to have a plan with Latchingdon pumping station, and they haven't bothered with that plan, and it's been accepted that it's fine, there's no problem with the conditions with sewerage. But somebody needs to stand up and say, do you know what, we've agreed this, we are responsible when it goes wrong. That's all I want.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. It shouldn't be possible with any modern development for rainwater, stormwater, to get into foul systems. There's plenty of old places that will have. Any of the old villages will all have it getting in. But any new development, as Councillor Savage has said, any new development, the water should be disposed of completely separately. And I'm unaware of anywhere that it isn't being disposed of separately. I mean, we've all seen the balancing ponds that they put around new developments for water to go into before it drains away into... local brooks and other drainage channels. So there certainly should not be any risk of it happening, and I'm just wondering where this has come from, where a new development is doing it, because I certainly it's not recommended, and I would actually think it's possibly illegal, because it does affect an awful lot of things, including one of the worst things is it washes raw sewage through a sewage works and out into the rivers prevents it working, which is the most dangerous of them, and it just should not be happening. And if anybody is doing it, then I suspect probably somebody somewhere should be prosecuted for it. Thank you, Chairman.
That's Savage.
21 Downs Road, a building that was demolished. It had surface water and sewage in the foul sewer. The replacement building goes into a soakaway the size of an average bedroom in all these black containers, and then it disperses in the ground. It is not connected. And the reason is they will not have surface water in the foul sewer.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll come back just to clarify.
Oh, come on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to say the problem is that already it floods in winter and it backs up through people's toilets. And they said that their new system, which is in the letter, is going to be some holding tanks. But in their previous email, they said they need the capacity to be 25,000 litres more than it is to stop it causing more flooding when it's in the winter and it floods anyway. So that's what it's basically about.
Okay. Well, let's look at that. I've got your email. Thank you.
We'll finish with that.
Okay.
move on to attendance management update 2017-18 and quarter one 2018-19.
So this report here is really, it was a previous area of work that was raised, and what this report does is it addresses some of the areas that the overview and scrutiny committee wanted to look at before. So the first, or one of the first areas, was around the number of days and whether the target was reasonable. Now what this report does is it shows that actually towards the very end of the last financial year, in the quarter one of this year, attendance has very much improved, and sickness has really got much further towards target, and that's even with, up until quarter one of this year, some very long-running, long-term sickness cases. So now we're at a point at the end of 17-18 where the overall days lost to sickness on average is 10.86. This was a reduction from 12.4 the year before, and also the lowest since 14-15. There's been an internal audit which specifically looked at one of the concerns of overview and scrutiny, which was around the level of support provided to management. And on page 19, the conclusions of internal audit are noted, which state actually that the level of support in terms of for management is satisfactory. So really, with these three long-term sickness cases, these very long-term sickness cases that have just been addressed really in quarter one, the target figure of 8 days appears much more achievable, and we appear to be much, much closer to it, which were really the concerns that were raised by Councillor Channer previously when she'd seen the sickness data before. So this report really takes, you know, provides some information around that. I suggest that in the light of the organisation potentially going through some really significant transformational change, that this area remains a watching brief for this committee, and that another report is brought back after the quarter two statistics to this committee to just demonstrate and show that actually the findings of internal audit, the curve back round to a better place at the end of last year, and that people, and the, you know, the period of change, which can be very cause a lot of anxiety to staff, isn't having too much effect on sickness. I don't know how the committee feels about that.
Councillor Herb.
Thank you, Chairman. First of all, I was very pleased to see the reduction in hours. Yeah, I was very pleased to see the reduction in hours from going down from 12 to 10. We are on 7, aren't we?
Well, it says 8 at the bottom there.
Agenda item 8. Oh, wait, it says 7. You're right. It's agenda item,
yes.
7. It says 8 at the bottom.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Okay. So I was very pleased to see that that was reduced, and that we have great confidence in almost 100% recordings of those sicknesses. The only thing I was going to ask, if I may, was on the chart 3.4 on page 18. I don't really think there's much you can do about the first three.
Mm-hmm.
But on the back pain, sprain and strain, it looks as though there's about 9 people, I suppose.
Nine incidents.
Is that from one department? I mean, if it was for, say, the prom, for example, then you could understand that. And what I'm saying is that do we have those figures broken down into which departments? Because going on from that, two down from that, although there's only 4, stress, depression, anxiety and psychological issues, if it's 4 from the same department, then there could be an issue there. So are you saying that we do have those, and are they different departments?
Yes, they are different departments, and we do have those, and we can provide those as well. So for example, on the back pain, strain and muscular, there's one of those that was in our committee services department, one of those that I know of is in our customer services department, and one of those which I know of is in our finance department. They're just three that I know because they fall under resources. I don't know where the fourth is, but you know, those are actually all in turn, not outside in the parks or departments.
Well, thank you for that, Chairman. I mean, I'm content if they're from different departments and there's no obvious link to either the wrong chairs in a particular department or something like that. That's fine. Thank you very much.
Councillor Stewart.
Just a little point. Considering that the latter part of last year and the early part of this year saw a most horrendous, in inverted commas, flu bug doing the rounds, which I suffered with myself, first time I've had anything like that for literally years, I'm very surprised and very pleased that we've actually found that the number of days of people off sick has come down. And I would, in fact, I mean, I suspect if you take out that bug, it's obviously a completely different situation where the numbers probably are down much nearer the eight that we are looking for. I mean, is there any known reason for this reduction? Is there anything we can put it down to, or are we disinfecting everybody as they come in and out, or are they
actually
treating everybody better or something?
Actually, there are a few things that we've done. Yes, you can see from 3.4 of the table that we were, as an organisation, pretty severely infected by that flu pandemic in the spring. I mean, I had a week and a half off, Richard Holmes, I mean, just talking from our small group, you know. So, yes, this was the new, we were affected. We have got the hand gels everywhere. The cleaning regime has changed to incorporate more door handles, stair rails and all of those sort of things in terms of washing and wiping. So we did do that at that point in time. We are, yes, we are. And also, we have got that flu jab in place as well. So we've had quite a large take-up on that. Although the flu jab that was available at the time didn't actually pick up the specific virus that was in place after Christmas. So even if people had had the flu jab, they would still catch it. I think that there is a much more rigorous procedure now in terms of dealing with long-term sickness or medium to long-term sickness, but B, dealing with repeated incidents of short-term sickness, and there's a lot more looking at patterns. The return to work interviews have to happen. If they're not in with the results on a pretty quick basis, then there's a strong chaser from HR. So I think on a sort of process-based, it's much more stronger. In internal controls, it's much more stronger. The other point I would make is that we did have some individuals with poor records of sickness, and that has started to turn around. I mean, what we will see happening over the next few months, I'm not sure, but there have been, I think it's fair to say, some exits from the organisation. And there have also been some close working with occupational health and other individuals to try and get them back into work and to stay fit when they are in work. So I say it's caveated a bit, because when organisations go through significant change, it does tend to have an effect on levels of sickness, and we are about to go through that. But I think overall, new absence management procedure and policy, lots of staff training, and really dealing with repetitive incidences of short-term sickness and some of those difficult, hard-to-reach long-term sickness cases as well.
Any more questions? Everyone happy?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Now, we've dealt with item 8, I think. Any other items of scrutiny?
No, can we just confirm definitely, so yeah, I definitely know what's going on. I think that would be really helpful.
Okay, let's confirm then. Councillor.
He's forgotten my name.
Yeah, I have actually. Silly bugger, I'm
right. Smith.
Councillor. Elliot.
Thank you, Chairman.
Brain fade.
On the fire, can we widen it to the whole of the Denji? Not just, I mean, Bradwell should be included as well. Because I've heard a quite frightening rumour recently that the authority, the fire authority, are considering shutting Burnham, Tillingham and Bradwell. Well,
it's gone.
It's gone already, is it?
There's never been one, only except at the power station.
I thought there was one at the power station. At the power station, yeah.
They had their own
fire engine. They've still got the facility there, haven't they? Haven't they?
It was
anyway, they're definitely thinking there'll be no cover on the Denji at all,
yep.
Of other than from Southwood and Ferris.
Okay.
That's fine.
Who would like to be the leader? We need
who wants to lead that? Do you want to lead that, Councillor?
I'll lead that, yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman. I've just got three things hopefully you might be able to help me with. They were mentioned in the minutes. One was about parking and the lack of car parking spaces in the town, because I do think that there is a reasonable income to be made through the extra parking spaces. It did say that the Director of Resources advised that the Asset Management Working Group were looking into this. Has that happened, please?
Yes, so at the next Asset Management Working Group meeting, which is in 2 weeks' time, there's a couple of alternative provisions to be discussed. So they tend to go through the Asset Management Working Group to get a bit of guidance and steer before they go any further. One of which includes multi-storey, and then there's two other sites as well. So those are coming to the next Asset Management Working Group.
I'm sorry, I've just got a couple more. Sorry. Did you want to come in?
No.
Okay. The other one was to do with a crematorium. Members requested an update on the building of a crematorium within the district, and I realised that the lack of suitable land was a problem, but they were looking at sites towards Southwood and Ferris. Is there any update on that, please?
Yes, that will come, so that it doesn't end up going through community services and through finance. There are two full council meetings which are happening in August, one on the 9th and one on the 16th. At the moment, I don't know which of the two meetings that will be coming to, but it will be coming to one of those two.
Thank you. And finally, this is really to do with the waste contract. I know that there were some problems in the smaller roads, King Street, and that some of the green waste wasn't being collected because there was some problems either with the type of vehicles or the number of vehicles available. And bearing in mind that when something goes wrong with the waste contract, we are inundated with calls, so I just see that as a risk to this council. Is there any update on that? Because I think it should come back.
Yes, I think I agree, and there have been a couple of issues since the last meeting as well, again around the reliability of the vehicles, and I think that needs specifically looking at as an overview scrutiny item going forwards, if the committee is minded to include that.
That's the same.
Thank you.
I have two issues, and I'm going to take them in reverse order now. Parking. My ward suffers horrendously in Park Drive and all the roads off of Park Drive, which are affected by irresponsible parking on the verges when there are large-scale events on the park. And I don't think this authority can walk away from its responsibility for making sure that the residents are not inconvenienced. I'm waiting to report back, but Morden & Burnham says there were 35 parking tickets issued. Now, I spent a couple of hours walking round the streets with my own photographs. I came across two, and only two, patrol officers, and when I caught up with them, I said, I haven't seen you issue one single parking ticket. And they turned round and said, look, we booked them all at the very beginning. And I felt like saying, well, why don't you give them a second one? They're there all day. Now, if large-scale events cannot do something about this, and I'm going to start with my ward members in the electorate, that this council no longer puts large-scale events on the prom. That's the first thing, if that can be looked at. The second thing appears to be that Maldon District Council is not following planning protocol when it comes to works on its own premises. It was most embarrassing for, I believe it was the Chairman of Community Services, to serve two stop notices on Richard Holmes for a beef burger and a trampoline in the park that had temporary 28-day permission on there, hadn't gone to Community Services, and we refused it. I have brought to the attention some tree works to the Asset Management Group where these trees have been cut down. There's been no public planning application. To give you an example of what other people have to do in a conservation area, the same one, they have to apply for tree works, and after the stabilisation of the land, which sometimes takes as long as 2 to 3 years, put a native tree back. But for some reason, the District Council is ignoring its own planning that it has to put on other people. Does that come under scrutiny?
Yeah.
I've just given the latest one to the asset management manager. I have contacted both district councillors because it's not in my ward, and I haven't had a satisfactory feedback from them.
Okay, thank you. Just finish off with Councillor Elliott, then we'll go around and make sure that members will feel happy about what we're going to put on.
At last Thursday's meeting, we took a vote in order to keep the Burnham Tourist Office open until next March. And I made the comment, and the chairman quite rightly stopped me from regressing it. Why are we even considering shutting the tourist office in Burnham? Why aren't we looking on tourism as a district-wide facility for the benefit of the district rather than particular areas? So I think we should do a piece of work on tourism, which would probably help facilitate the decision that's got to be taken during the budget process, I would have thought.
Yes, and it's not just the Burnham TIC that I believe that will be considered. I think it's how we deliver tourism as a whole, full stop. So it's not just Burnham. They will also look at Maldon. Yeah, and see what is the best way to deliver tourism strategically and operationally within our district.
I mean, as everybody knows, I'm an accountant, and I think what's happening, the trap we're falling into is that tourism has been hijacked by the accountants. Now, good people are going to think they give us all a lot of information and bills. And rules, yes. But one's got to realise that one of the criticisms, which is almost a truism about accountants, is that they know the cost of everything and the value of nothing. And I think we have to look at, when we do this piece of work, we've got to look at the value of providing tourist information facilities to the district. Bear in mind that the businesses are going to be our only source of income from a rates point of view in a very short while.
I just need to check as well that that's not on the work plan for either community services or P&L as well. I think it's fine, but I just want to check that we're not going to duplicate as well, so I'll do that.
Councillor Jewett.
I really, it's just something in passing, just to support Councillor Elliott. I mean, I had my mother-in-law stay with us over summer, May and June this year, and she went down to Burnham on her own one day and ended up getting in a bit of a muddle and couldn't find anything. I went to Burnham TIC, said they were incredibly helpful, helped her completely out of a muddle, and it was such a pleasure to have that facility available. So, yeah, there is a lot more to it than just saying, oh, it's costing us money, because it's somebody now who's quite happy and would happily go to Burnham again to get that support and spend more money in Burnham.
You see, if I may, I mean, did your mother-in-law buy anything in the TIC office? If not, then she was a cost.
She's Scottish. She's Scottish, so she wouldn't have spent very much, I can assure you, but she may well have done. Probably.
Councillor White.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, if I might assist, as a family, we have a lot of interest in tourism. Admittedly, it's in Scotland. And we actually have flats that we rent out, holiday accommodation and all sorts. But as a slightly contrary view, Scotland have a much higher GDP per capita from tourism than England does. And it's about how you deliver these services. And actually, we have relatives who run TICs, but they're not run at a cost to the authority. They're run in a different manner. And I'm not sure it was last year or the year before, I actually offered to bring somebody down to speak about tourism, and they probably would still come down and do it, because we need to encourage FITs, which is free independent tourists. You don't want so much of the other tourists, because they're the ones who spend the money with the big buck and use all the facilities. So it's not about closing TICs, it's about applying them in a different format that doesn't cause a cost to the authority.
Absolutely.
Angle
to look at.
Yeah,
okay. Councillor Jones,
do you want to come back?
Could we have a look
at Scotland? I mean, see how they do it. Thank you, Chairman. Actually, one that's just come to mind. I was very pleased to see the job centre located into this council. I'm not sure, I haven't heard how it's going, and I do know that there was a plan to extend this scheme to Burnham as some kind of an outreach project. So I wondered, in order to save those people who are unable to find work, travelling all the way to Chelmsford to do all of their administration, if we could have perhaps an update on how it is doing here and also what the plans are to further extend that to Burnham.
Councillor Savage.
Well, I was aware there was a job centre here, but it was only for youngsters. I wasn't aware it was for everybody. But since it's still going on, shouldn't there at least be looked at in the light of everything else that we're doing? That appears to have been overlooked.
All right, members, if Emma would like to run through the list and make sure we confirm what we're looking at, and who's the sponsor for each subject?
Okay, we've got quite a lot here. So we've got the fire piece on the Denji, and that's proposed to be Councillor Elliott.
Everyone happy with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Good. Car parking, Councillor Hurd proposed that, and that's around a lack of car parking spaces. We could bolt on off street and poor parking when there are events to that, and have a piece overall on car parking.
You'll have to include enforcement as well, because this is a case of issuing out tickets, but now that means this car should have been removed, put away.
Okay.
I think, yes, and I do think we need to remember what our responsibilities are as a district council and what happens as part of the South Eastern Parking Partnership as well, and what our role is. And I think Councillor Pratt was the individual which sat on that partnership, so we need to make sure we route everything properly.
I mean, our role isn't to encourage irresponsible parking. Okay. And as it happens, on that particular Sunday, I went down the car park and they're all laughing. But they're much happy to spend £35 a ticket in pounds.
Okay. Are we happy as that as the subject members?
Okay.
Councillor Hurd, are you going to sponsor that?
Okay. Yes, I'm happy to do that, Chairman.
Good, thank you. Then a piece on, well, the crematorium will go in the summer, well, next month. Something around the waste contract, and I think really picking up small vehicles and also reliability of vehicles.
Are we happy to go into that? Members?
Sponsor?
Councillor Hurd.
Okay. Right. Now we've got some pieces around. There's the issue raised around the prom park. Now there was actually some quite detailed correspondence that went back after that from Mr. Holmes, which all of you haven't had that shared with you. It's just been to specific members, and I think it would be very useful for you to at least have that as some background, perhaps between now and the next meeting, and then to decide exactly what you want to do around that issue. But I think you need to see that documentation first.
Everyone happy with that, members? Yeah. Right, got the next one.
Right. Councillor Savage, I will look at your trees on Downs Road recreation ground separately and come back to you over the next week on that.
Perhaps a fortnight on the two prestigious trees that we have that outdate original ground.
Yes, so we're just looking for that in writing. We've had confirmation back from the tree officer on that, yep. Right. Tourism. How we deliver it, the best way of delivering it, and the tourist information centres. I just want to check first with P&L and communities.
Does it matter if they're doing a piece of work? I mean,
no, as long as we don't exactly duplicate what they're doing.
I doubt if they're looking at the... because I think we should concentrate not only... I think the innovation bit is what interests me.
Yeah.
Because we can't just count the number of people that go in there. No.
And what value? What's the real
what's
value?
The value of this?
Who would like to lead on that piece of work?
Could we share that one?
Of course. Oh. If the committee's happy.
Are the committee happy with that?
Agreed.
Right, agreed.
Then something on remaining leases. I think we could pick up the moat lease then, which Councillor Savage had previously raised, and also the job centre.
And can I just add, are there any other organisations in here that I'm aware of the CAB? They've got their own, but I'm just wondering whether theirs, perhaps, in the light of it, and is there any other organisation that I don't know?
Yeah, so there's two other organisations that have, don't necessarily, or three, that don't necessarily have office space, but have the facility, because they used to be in St. Sed's. You've got Malden Museum, they use here for meetings, for example. You've also got Homestart, and also... I think, yeah, and we do CIB as well. Mm. So let's look at all of the other leases in the building.
Yeah, if you guys sponsor for that.
Well, I agree that the leases should be looked at. My concern was that we're using the job centres properly. I mean, I want to see the job centres here, and I would like to see it extended to Burnham. It's not that I'm here to frighten them off, but. I agree that if there is a lease, even if it's a partnership, but I do think it should be looked at. But really, I'm looking to see that they're being used properly and that they could be extended to Burnham.
Let's get some figures, and we'll do a brief report to the next meeting. And then, if you've got further questions from the back of that,
I'm quite happy to deal with the job centre. I have a vast amount of experience.
Well, if I may,
Chairman...
That
doesn't mean you've got a pecuniary interest.
No, I'm now retired as far as they're concerned.
All happy with that, members?
If I may, Chairman, the idea of the job centre coming here was mine, and I'd be very keen to lead on that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Right.
I'm sure we can share it.
Yeah, we can share it with them.
So, what...
On that particular... Yes. Can you confirm that it is now open to everybody? Because prior to that, it was the under 25s.
Yes, of course.
And that excluded me, which I wasn't unhappy about.
Yeah, okay, that's
well, I thought you were only 20, Councillor Savage. Get actions.
When I first started, it was a postal boat, and you only went in when they called you in.
Thank you, Councillor Savage.
Right, that's a really good full programme of work.
Okay.
Great.
It was suggested somewhere earlier on about the idea of the Ignite process being scrutinised. I mean, in my view, this is a bit early yet, but I was just wondering whether...
Can we keep it in a box?
Yeah.
We don't lose anything on it.
Because, I mean, at the moment, well, we've hardly got started, and it's difficult to go too far with it, but it's just... I remember it being talked about, and that was all. Thank you, Chairman.
No problem. Right, we'll finish with that, members. Right. Any other business that the chairman of the committee decides are urgent? There are none. We move on to item 10, exclusion of the press and public and press. To resolve under section 100A-4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following item of business on the grounds that it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 12A to the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest. Okay, members?
Yeah.